I want to say hello to Ilana Friedland. Ilana, thanks so much for joining me on the radio this morning.
Yeah, well, thank you for having me, Frank.
So, Ilana, you are an authority on so many different areas. I won't know where to begin, but let me begin with one that a lot of our listeners have raised questions about over the years, and that's the issue of chemtrails. I know you've spent a lot of time talking about this over the years. Explain to folks what the story is with chemtrails. What are they, and where do they come from?
Well, first of all, the term chemtrails is actually not a conspiracy theory term. It comes from the U.S. Air Force Academy, where they had it on their chemistry manual cover called Chemtrails for pilots who were studying the chemistry of what was in the jet engine and what was coming out of the jet engine. So I just wanted to clear that up. I don't think of it as pejorative. I think of it as demarcating the difference between chemical trails and condensation trails. And the condensation trails are almost non-existent now because most fuel in certainly the big jets and the military jets are all chemical. So what you're seeing coming out of the back of a jet, if it lasts longer than 10 seconds, that is not a contrail. That is a chemical trail. And then it, as you know, it dissipates into a cloud cover, and it looks almost like a cirrus cloud cover of yesteryear, but it's actually chemicals. And because they're using electromagnetics for weather engineering of these chemical trails and the cloud cover, then it becomes something quite different from the cirrus clouds of yesterday.
So what do you think these are?
Oh, no, I know what they are. I've written two books on them. These are chemical trails that end up in a cirrus-looking cloud cover, but that's actually a lot of plasma, the fourth state of matter, because it's not like the clouds that we used to have when I was a kid, when they were it was basically water condensation, ice, and particulate matter. Now you have particulate matter, maybe some condensation, but not much. You mainly have something activated in the ionized atmosphere. Because remember HARP? Do you remember that acronym?
I remember the term, but I don't remember what it stood for.
Yeah, it's the High Frequency Active Auroral Research Project up in Gakona, Alaska. And it was acres and acres of phased array antennas that when activated and focused up to the ionosphere, could literally poke a hole in the ionosphere and ionize a lot of the electrons popping off of atoms up there, and then draw that down into our atmosphere. And that's what's happened, is they were very successful with the research projects coming out of HARP. And now they have ionized our entire atmosphere, but it has to keep happening. So a lot of the ionospheric heaters in the world are zapping, still zapping, in order to keep our atmosphere sort of like a battery, a battery and a condenser, in order to run all their wireless operations for the military industrial intelligence complex. And the reason I write these books and talk on interviews like this or give talks in places is I want citizens to know what we're breathing in. Because we haven't been told. We've been told this is climate change. We've been told it's geoengineering. No, we've been told that it's global warming. And really what it is it's all being geoengineered. And it's not being geoengineered to make things better. It's being geoengineered for the secret space program and the military-industrial intelligence complex. And our health is suffering from this.
All right,
and
we
should be told.
Before we discuss the secret space program, and if people are just tuning in, we're talking with Alana Freeland. You can check out her books and her blog and a lot of the other work that she's done, not only on this subject, but a wide variety of subjects, at ilanafreeland.com. It's spelled F-R-E-E. Land, freeland.com. Tell me about the health hazards that these chemtrails could be causing on humans here on this planet.
Right. So they have a lot of nanoparticles in them, and we're just now on a public level learning about nanotechnology. I think this latest thing we've been through the last year and a half, we've been hearing somewhat about nanoparticles being in vaccines and things like that. So the nanoparticles are one, a nanoparticle in itself is 1/1,000,000,000th of a meter. So you can't see them. And yet they're super cheap to make. They are in everything, all the way from cosmetics to potato chips to things that need fillers, like, you know, bottled what are those called? Smoothies.
Right.
They weren't tested. I mean, it's the same old story. Not tested, just thrown out there in the public since 2002, approximately. And the military has made massive use of it. And maybe that's the reason we haven't been told, because there is such a large use of it in the military. I don't know. But I know that breathing in nanoparticles, it gets in the lungs. It goes, because they're so tiny, they can go straight through the lungs into the blood and end up going straight through the blood-brain barrier. So they not only are affecting our organs and our blood, but our brain as well. And I certainly noticed that people seem not able to concentrate as easily. There are a lot of memory problems. The whole idea of these new illnesses that are popping up that are autoimmune types of symptoms. So all of this, all I want is for the geoengineering to come clean with what's going on. I have not been able to get the what's in the fuel, because it's classified, because this is all military. And we're not being told that. We're told that it's because of the carbon coming out of our cars, that, you know, we're having this climate change. No, the climate change is due to the geoengineering that's going on for the sake of military operations and the secret space program.
Now, you've used the term geoengineering a few times now. Explain that to folks. If people are unfamiliar with geoengineering, what is that?
Right. Usually it's defined in the few newspaper articles and Time magazine and things as something like solar radiation management, SRM, that they're going to have to go up there and drop sulfur, or they're going to have to drop something else in order to assuage the climate change and the heat of the sun. They're going to have to make this cloud cover constantly. And you see these jets crossing the sky with these long trails. Well, that's what this is geoengineering. Geo means earth. Engineering, we know what that means. And all that needs to happen is that it becomes part of a dialogue, so that citizens are informed that this is what they're breathing, that a lot of their health issues, I mean, think about doctors. Do they know that this is happening? No, most doctors don't even know. And so they're misdiagnosing. There's just a whole bunch of problems that come from national security programs like this, which, you know, I don't I really don't see any enemy that is concerned about the citizens. What I think it's being hidden for is, what about the hurricanes? What about the tidal waves? What about tornadoes and icy winters like we had this last winter? All those things are all because the weather is being engineered by geoengineers.
You mentioned the secret space program. Tell me about that. What exactly is the secret space program? What do we know about it? And what's your source for your knowledge of knowing about it?
I was mainly put on the trail of the secret space program by the investment analyst Catherine Austin Fitz. She and a lawyer friend of hers did a great deal of research in order to figure out where the $21 trillion from the American budget had gone. It just sort of, it's missing. So they tracked it down. And to the best of their knowledge, it appeared to be going into space programs. Now, as you know, we first had the space program way back in the late 30s, actually, and certainly in the 40s, when we brought over the card-carrying Nazi Wernher von Braun and put him in charge of a large amount of the space program. Then we called it the rocket program, if you recall, and other paperclip Nazis came into the United States and were ensconced, their names scrubbed. They were put at our bases. They were put at Cape Canaveral, Cape Kennedy, all the places where they could help get America to be first through their vast knowledge of engineering and aeronautics engineering. So that's kind of where it began, but it constantly needs money, and there it's being run, possibly kept secret so that the enemies, like, you know, I suppose China, Russia, that they don't know what we're doing. I get that that's what national security is about. But it doesn't have to be to the extent where it's absolutely invisible in the mainstream media. So that's how I got involved in it, was through Catherine, and then I did my own research, read some of Joseph Farrell's books on Paperclip and the secret space program, and the breakaway civilization is another term they use, that there's a whole phalanx of humanity, well-to-do humanity, global elites, whatever you want to call them, who are also planning their own level of the breakaway civilization, not to take care of the one we have, maybe even to trash it and undermine it, as appears to be going on now, in order to make their way into a wider and better world.
A listener just emailed me as we were talking here, and he wrote that there was a suspicious, dramatic cessation or reduction of noticeable chemtrails at the inception of the COVID pandemic, and that has continued to this day. Is that true from your observation?
Well, it's complicated. Some people are making that observation. The complication comes from the fact that there is a system of laying trails now and laying this cloud cover that is completely invisible. And, of course, it's all chemically done. It's done with chemicals. It's done with electromagnetics. It's done with nanoparticles. So it's not hard to imagine that it's become invisible. I think when people write me and say, oh, wow, we had this clear day today, I don't think that the people today realize what a clear day really looked like, say, 40 years ago. We don't have those days anymore. We have a particulate matter in the sky to where it's a pale, pale blue. And, yeah, you won't see any trails overhead, but that might be because they're using the drones with the technology that makes invisible trails. You can't see them.
Very interesting. We have been told that chemtrails are not real. That what we're seeing, that what people see when they see what we would describe as chemtrails in the sky, that that is just condensation trails. Now, you believe right. that's not the case because condensation trails would be evaporating much more quickly than a chemical trail would.
And they're also shorter. They're very short. And they also begin several feet behind the small jet that's usually at a high altitude. No, the program that started all of this was really Project Cloverleaf. And Cloverleaf actually enrolled the commercial jets as well, and all the pilots and the head brass of these airlines had to sign non-disclosure agreements in order to keep it secret, keep it under wraps, while they were preparing the environment, the atmosphere, for many of the operations that we're now suffering from.
Before we run out of time here, Ilana, and I do hope you'll come back because we're not even scratching the surface of all the subjects you're in authority in, but I'm wondering if you can explain a little bit about what transhumanism is. It's not something that I was familiar with before I started mm-hmm. looking into your work.
Yeah, I think the guy to read to understand, if people still read, transhumanism is Ray Kurzweil. And Ray Kurzweil is now, I believe, head of some big department at Google. He's sort of the guy who talked about an event called Singularity. And it's an AI-run world, and where it impinges on us is right now, you know, we like some of the AI. You can pull up and get your gas really fast. You can get money out of the ATMs really fast. All this is all due to artificial intelligence. But the problem is that there are a lot of people, including Ray Kurzweil, who see that the future of humanity itself really needs more development. They call it enhancement. I personally feel that it's extremely complex, and I'm just finishing a book now. This is my third and, I hope, last book on geoengineering. It's called Geoengineered Transhumanism. And what I mean by that is that the environment has been so prepared, particularly with the nanoparticles and the electromagnetics, as you know, the wireless world we live in, and all the chemicals, which we used to call pollutants. All of this is intentional and is connected to the nanoparticles that are now inside our systems, even without vaccines, though vaccines are certainly one of the delivery systems. Another delivery system besides the chemical trails is GMO foods. So it's all been set up for the sake of changing our human nature and moving us toward a kind of human who's, you might call it a cyborg if you were science fiction minded, a human who can be hooked up, plugged into computers and the cloud, who then can be controlled and programmed remotely. It sounds crazy. Sounds absolutely like it's way in the future, but it's already begun.
Well, on that note, Ilana Freeland, I think we'll end it there. I very much appreciate the time, and I hope we can chat again soon, maybe next week.
All right. Thanks, Frank.
Thank you, Ilana Freeland. Check out her website, ilanafreeland.com.